Hello and welcome everyone to today's Footmarks. I am your host Shayan and I have Jared here with me. So today we are going to talk about the challenges of hitting Bumrah for sixes. Jared, at what point in time did you first realize or observe that Bumrah gets hit for very few sixes, even amongst the T20 elites?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't think it was something I was looking at with bowlers all that much. And I might have been when I was looking at stats for Sunil Narine at one stage when I was looking at because I realized Sunil Narine was someone who was, he had a different sort of trajectory than other players as well. And I was trying to work out, but it still seemed like he got hit for sixes, but he was better at bowling dots and singles. And so I think I was looking at something there and I saw Bumrah. I think the real question should be, when I asked you to write this piece, you weren't interested at all. And by the end, you got obsessed. That's the real thing. I think you were actually actively like, this isn't a piece. Why are you breaching this up? What's going on here? And then by the end, you were like, what about if we think about this angle?
I think when I first saw the comment that Ishit shared, I was obviously like, this cannot be true. Like, no sane person in the world is going to say the comment that we, you know.
So what was that, it? It was like a fake. Well, we think it's a fake. We still don't actually know because it's such
a weird
account.
It has to be fake. I tried to look it up. Yeah. It was fake.
But I did look at that guy. He did make other comments on that site, but I'm assuming they're all fake. But he said that Babar Azam, he would streak naked if Babar Azam didn't hit Jasper Bumrah for six sixes, which of course is funny. And I think part of the reason we were so interested in it is because Babar Azam doesn't hit sixes, right?
Exactly.
And Jasper Bumrah doesn't go for sixes. It's a combination of both of those things that we found so interesting. And then like once we kind of got into it, it was actually very funny talking to different people about this, you smart people. Like, we talked to Jimenez and Jimenez couldn't even like understand it. And Rob Barron spent about half an hour one night trying to work it out for me and was just like, I'm not sure this is the right answer. it's so hard to work out what the odds are of anyone hitting Jasper Bumrah for six sixes are. Yeah. So it ended up being a very fascinating little story.
Yeah, 100%. And when I first saw this comment, we were like, okay, who can hit Bumrah for even six sixes in 2-3 matches? Forget about one matches. So we started looking
at the record.
The players.
What's the most sixes anyone's ever hit from him altogether?
I think that must be Abel de Villiers, if I'm not wrong. Yeah. I think he had 8.
Is that in all cricket or is that just in the IPL?
I think that's just in the IPL.
Yeah. I don't think anyone, I did look this up. I don't think we put it in the piece, but I don't think anyone has more than like 11 or 10 or something against him, right? Like, and it might still be AB de Villiers who holds the record or whoever it is, but it's very much, it isn't something that happens a lot. You know, we had in the intro of our piece, like Sam Constance hits a couple of sixes off him and the world goes crazy, right? Like, because it is not something we are used to seeing off Bumrah. And it was funny when I talked to Robbie for the piece about this and Robbie's like, why are you going on about this? And then I showed Robbie the stats and Robbie's like, oh my God. Because in Robbie's mind, like, it's possible to hit sixes off Jasper Bumrah because he's done it. But he's like, he hit 4 and he's in like the top 8 players who've ever done it ever, right?
Yeah. And Robbie's case was very special simply because when you think about Bumrah as a bowler, the easiest option against him is to rotate the strike, right? Like, that's your best option. And it's almost impossible to hit sixes off him. And scoring 4s is also really, really tough. And with Robbie, it's the exact opposite.
If you look at Bumrah and Sunil Narine and you compare them to Rashid Khan, Khan is more of a threat bowler than those two are, right? Doesn't mean that those two won't go through you, but those two bowlers are actually quite often bowling for you to score singles, whereas Rashid Khan doesn't do that as much, right? You can hit singles off him and you can hit him for 4s, but Rashid Khan is generally bowling 4 wickets every ball, whereas Bumrah doesn't do that. He bowls 4 wickets when he thinks he needs one, and Sunil Narine quite often won't bowl. Sunil Narine might go a whole spell and not try and take a wicket. Right? Or not try and take a bowl of wicket taking ball. He's trying to take a wicket, but he's trying to create that pressure.
Yeah.
And so it's very, very different, right? And we've seen all different bowlers go about this. But so that means that Narine and Bumrah, who are very much outliers when it comes to boundaries, and I'm sure you'll bring that up in a minute, but it's on purpose. They are literally saying, you can score off us. We have no problem if you hit a single here. We know you're going to miss the odd single anyway, but we also know that you're not going to hit many boundaries off us, and chances are we'll create pressure at our end or at the other end.
Yeah, exactly. And if you remember, you did this piece on Bumrah, I think a couple of years ago, where you were looking at expected wickets on the other end. Where how much wickets does he create for the other assisted wickets? Sorry, that's the right term for it. I think we had Ashish on board during that time and he was looking this stuff up. And it was really interesting to see that the impact of Bumrah is not just for the overs that he bowls, it's also for the overs around him. And that's why Robbie hitting him for that many sixes and fours was specially, like, that just blew my mind, honestly, because that was the least likely option against him. And there is actually one Robbie innings that he plays. I think that might be his last innings for KKR in the IPL, where he scores 40 of 48, but he's 18 of 12 against Bumrah. So,
yeah.
I mean, I honestly cannot tell how you can explain that. And I think even against Malinga, he gets some good runs. It's the other bowlers who he cannot score off in that game. So that was just like, I honestly couldn't understand it.
Yeah, and I think that Robbie kind of explained it. So we'll get to the... There's a few reasons why you can't hit Bumrah for six. One is that the balls do... He has all that backspin on the ball. And so it dips lower than you expect it to dip. And it's never quite in the position you want it to be in.
Yeah.
He also slides the ball through. Like, if you look at the amount of times he'll bowl like a length ball and still hit the stumps at three quarters of the way up, right? In a way that other people don't. He's then got the slow balls, which are exceptional. He's very accurate and everything else. But... and you got the funny action and the pace, right? So you've got all those things.
Even the full tosses, Jared.
Yeah.
Unhittable. Even the full tosses.
I think and when he bowls full tosses, it's very rarely, he only misses them by a small amount anyway, right? So they're not six hitting full tosses, right? So, you know, if you want to hit a six, you really want the full toss to be about halfway up your shin, maybe even, from halfway up your shin to like just above your knee, right? Mm. And Bumrah doesn't really bowl those. He bowls the sort of ankle and lower full tosses, right? So you've got all these things, but what Robbie was saying which was fascinating, is that when you're trying to hit him, most people are trying to hit him to the leg side because of the angle he bowls in, which is coming in at you all the time. And what Robbie was saying is actually what you want to do is try and hit him over the offside, which is the opposite of the way he goes. And that also, you know, I would assume most players don't know that, right? But the second thing that sort of follows on from that, Cheyenne, is that most people, when they're hitting sixes, are hitting to the leg side, right? Yeah, you've got your Suresh Rainers, right? And your Abhishek Sharmas, and, you know, there's a few other guys out there, Damian Martin. But the vast majority of people are much more likely to try and hit a six on the leg side. I mean, if we looked at all the data in the history of cricket, I would say that maybe 70, 75, maybe even 80% of sixes have been hit on the leg side compared to the offside, right? And so... you don't hit many sixes on the offside. So even when you're scoring off Bumrah, you're more likely to hit a boundary with a four on the offside than you are to hit a six on the leg side with him. So there's all these like micro things that make him just almost impossible to be able to just pick up and dispatch the way that everyone else gets dispatched.
Yeah. And there was another bowler who we looked at, another pace bowler who was quite similar in some ways to Bumrah, was Nathan Ellis, who's been one of the better T20 bowlers of recent times. Of course, he's not on Bumrah's level, but we know that he is very impactful and he will play a very important role for Australia in the upcoming tournament. And even his action is very unique, right? It's not a conventional sort of action where, you know, it's very easy to line him up in some ways, I feel. So how would you compare those two bowlers in some ways?
I think Ellis is probably, I think I found his height as listed at about 5'10", which is very, very short for a modern fast bowler. The bowler that Ellis is probably most like, this is probably a little bit before your time, but a guy called Alfonso Thomas, who I think, did he play any games in the IPL?
Yes, he has played in the IPL. I have heard his name for sure. I have seen him play.
I think he played in the Champions League. So, you know, for people of that era, remember him.
But
Alfonso Thomas and Nathan Ellis basically live on the thing of, if I am so full to you every single ball, right, it's going to be hard for you to pick me up and hit me 4-6. And then I just have to have accuracy. And then the one thing that Alfonso was probably better at sort of late reverse swing than Nathan Ellis, although Nathan Ellis could sometimes get that as well. But Nathan Ellis has a back of the hand slow ball as well, right? Yeah. And he has two slow balls, which most people aren't experts at two different slow balls. So I think with Nathan Ellis, you have a couple of different options. But I think a lot of it is just, it's a very conventional way of bowling. If you watch Nathan Ellis and you go and watch Peter Siddle play in T20 cricket, they're actually quite similar. Yeah. They're just trying to get under your swing, right? So that you can't get them into the arc. And if you're trying to hit them for six, I think that becomes an issue. I think where Nathan Ellis struggles compared to Bumrah is, if you're smart enough to realize that you don't have to hit sixes off Nathan Ellis, there's probably plenty of twos or fours that you can pick up off him, right? Because he is over-pitching quite a bit.
Exactly.
But most players are not maybe in that mindset the whole way. But yeah, Nathan Ellis is another fascinating one. But again, you've got two bowlers who probably, when they land the ball in the length, are getting a little bit more energy off the pitch and skidding it through a little bit more, which makes it a little bit harder to get up and under them.
Yeah. No, I think I completely agree with that. And the fact that Ellis overpitches so much, I think when you said it like that, I can really relate with it. And I think maybe the batters who, you know, find those pockets in the field, who can, you know, really pick the ball up and run for twos, maybe in those sort of MCG-esque grounds, I think those are the batters that might thrive more on him. So I feel
He's very milkable. He's not very hittable, I think, as the stats
exactly. Yeah, I think that's a very good way to put it. So another thing was we were looking at some of the batters who did well against him in the IPL, and of course we talked about some of those guys as well. So I think we can start with Virat, and obviously, you know, his matchup with Bumrah. My theory was that there is an element of him wanting to boss the alpha, the leader of the pack. And also with him and AB de Villiers, one of their best innings against Bumrah came when Bumrah was not yet at his prime. That was in 2015 when both of them absolutely smash him and they make like a 235 in 20 overs or something crazy like that. And that's basically when Bumrah gets hit for a lot of the runs. But I think that's an interesting matchup because that's a conventional batter. And we also see KL Rahul, another player who we also group together in that sort of anchor mold of players. But what do you think about those sorts of players? And are they a good option to counter someone like Bumrah in T20s?
I wonder if... you've talked about three different batters there, who are two that are similar and one that's a little bit different, right? Yeah. But they are all world-class at playing cover drives. And I wonder if that holds true with what Robbie's saying, which is hitting him through the offside is a better option. KL, I take out of this a little bit, but in AB de Villiers' case, in Virat Kohli's case, you're talking about two of the greatest players ever of high-end pace that we've ever seen, right? So the extra pace isn't bothering them the way it would someone else. So I think that's a big part of it. I think we know that with Virat Kohli, he doesn't like tall bowlers, right? He prefers the ball skidding onto him. He doesn't like the taller bowlers. And so Bumrah will do that. He's also probably faced Bumrah in the nets. How many times?
Yeah.
Right? So, but I think you look at these, I've got a feeling that KL Rahul has a really good record against a couple of very good bowlers. I think we looked this up when we did a big KL piece, when everyone was like, he's only good bashing terrible bowlers. And I was like, okay, let's have a look, see if that's true. And it's like, it is not true. With Bumrah being a prime example of it not being true, right?
Yeah.
So I think, you know, maybe people like KL and Robbie are more, what's the best way of putting it? They might just be set up better to play someone like Bumrah. And then it might also be that because they are, even if they're not like elite batters in the way that Virat Kohli and AB de Villiers are, they are elite thinkers about batting, right? Yeah. And so, I mean, we can have a go at KL for his career and not making it to the level that we all think he should have. But it's quite clear that he's a very smart batter in the way he goes about it. We may not agree with the pace he always bats or the decisions that he makes, but that's because he's thinking about it all the time, right? He makes more decisions probably in an innings than a lot of, you know, very good players would. Yeah. And so maybe it's that. Maybe it's that they have the ability to find a method. But you've also got to remember, sometimes it's just like, sometimes it is someone has a weird action and you have absolutely no issue with it and everyone else does. Right. Yeah. And I always think back to Cameron White playing Lasif Malinga at one stage. Mm. And Cameron White just wanted to hit the ball dead straight back over the bowler's head every time. Right. Like that was when he was at his best. That's what he tried to do. That's the best shot against Malinga. So I don't think that means that Cameron White was great against Malinga. I think it just means that it was a good matchup. And so some of these things could just be good matchups. But KL and Virat have probably also faced him in the nets a lot, right? So, you know, there's probably a few different parts to this.
Yeah. And I think another thing that we were talking about was that it's specifically hard to hit Bumrah for multiple sixes in a row, right? Like hitting him back for back-to-back sixes. So I actually looked this up. So because Faf was also very interesting and he was also obviously one of the players on that list of six hitters that we were talking about.
Another great player.
What I realized with him... Right? Yeah, exactly. Another player of elite fast bowling. So what I saw with him was, if there was this game in 2021 in the IPL where Pollard wins the game for Mumbai eventually, but in the first innings, Chennai also make a lot of runs. And Faf goes 6-6-4 against Bumrah in the 11th over. Will you believe it?
Yeah.
In 2021.
Yeah. And so, again, that's another player who is, that's probably almost his skill. I think what's incredible is that when you start to break it down, so with the one time he's been hit for four sixes in the over was Pat Cummins, right?
Yeah.
And that was when the game was already won. And I don't think there was two in a row, were there?
There was two in a row technically, but that was because there was a wide in the middle.
Yeah, so but that is a two in a row. Do you know what I mean? Like I'm not saying that obviously that's part of what I'm trying to say is that someone like Bumrah, the chances of them being hit for a six two balls in a row, I think is very, very very, very rare. And then the longer you go into that period, the harder it would be to actually hit them because eventually their bowling instincts take over and it's like, how do I get out of this situation? And so one of the things we looked at for this piece was the bowlers who have been hit for six sixes in an over, right? So yeah. Stuart Broad is very, very young and is playing a format of cricket that he probably played a little bit, but I don't think he was like, he was very, very new to international cricket, and he was pretty new to the England, to professional cricket, I think, at that stage, right? So there's a bowler who doesn't quite know what he's doing. If you go back to Malcolm Nash getting hit for the six sixes, right?
Yeah.
By Garfield Sobers, you've got a situation where he's a frontline bowler. And my God, how did no one on the ground tell him to stop bowling left arm finger spin to Garfield Sobers, right? But you can see, I think it's the fourth or fifth ball and maybe even the sixth ball. He starts to try and bowl medium pace, but he's still coming in off the spin run up. Whereas actually, he should have just gone back off his long run, right? And bowled wide Yorkers, right? But again, that didn't exist. No one knew that you could even hit six sixes in an over, right? Yeah. If you look at the Herschel Gibbs and the Ravi Shastri versions of this, they were both against, you know, one was an associate leg spinner where the ball could have gone absolutely anywhere. The other one was a part-time bowler in Indian cricket who, you know, virtually never played any cricket anyway, like a professional cricket. So the theory, so as you were saying before, and Bumrah is better than just a normal professional bowler, right? Like he's at a level way, way, way above everyone else. So once he's hit for two sixes by someone like Faf, the fact that the next one goes for four might be his way of making sure he doesn't get hit for six, right?
And so that's at the start of the over, mind you.
Yeah, right? And so if you're hit for two sixes in a row, at that stage, it's a completely different ball game. And I think that's what we were trying to work out is, let's say Faf gets hit for five sixes in a row, right? Yeah. And you get all the way down to that section shard and you're suddenly like, okay, five sixes in a row, the next ball. That's one of the few balls in Jasprit Bumrah's life he's ever going to bowl where he knows 100% someone's going to try and hit him for six, right?
Yeah.
So the last ball of the first innings, you think they're probably going to try and hit it for six, but if it's not in that area, they're still going to try and hit it for four, right? So they're still looking for another option. If you need six to win off the last ball, that's one where you're trying to hit it for six. But in that situation, you only get one ball to bowl at them. Whereas if he's gone for five sixes in an over somehow, Bumrah, against someone like Faf, and he gets to the last ball of the over, he could bowl like four wides, right? Just waiting. And we've seen bowlers do this before. We've seen bowlers potentially bowl two or three wides to get the batters out of their pattern, right? To get the sting out of it. And sometimes the batters are just sitting there watching the wides, but the next ball they don't hit for six when it's back in their arc either, right? Like, so teams are now willing to do that. So that's what we were trying to work out. And then I think very specifically with Bumrah, that he has two balls that he can bowl in that situation, whereas I don't think most players have two. I think most players probably just have the wide Yorker, right? Because you don't want to bowl the straight Yorker, because if you miss that in either direction, it's just getting pinged. But I think in Bumrah's case, you have the wide Yorker, and then you also have, I think he can bowl the half volley or the low full toss down the leg side in a way that at the very worst, it's going to clip your pads. It might hit your pads and just be a dot ball. And then also I think because of his pace and his action, if you bowl that ball, there's also an automatic reflex for the batter to try and leg glance that even when they're trying to think 666. So I think even in the unlikely situation, you get the five sixes in a row, I think Bumrah has so many other weapons that you would do. And it was only when I was doing the research for this that I realized how rare six sixes in an over comes off a frontline bowler bowling with their frontline skill. So in Malcolm Nash's case, he's bowling with his secondary skill. I have travelled the cricketing world, and so I've collected two things, the phone numbers of random taxi drivers and overseas SIM cards. Rideshare apps have fixed the first part, and Sally is doing the second. Now, all you need is their eSIM on whatever plan works for you. You activate it, and you can use it anywhere in the cricketing world. It helps you save money. It is a global solution to a global problem. Stop fiddling with tiny sims and get the one that does it all. Go to Sally.com Good Areas and use the code Good Areas to get an exclusive 15% off your first purchase. Fly free with Sally.
Yeah. Exactly. And since you were talking about him bowling wide Yorkers, that's exactly what he does in the Faf situation. So I'll tell you how it goes. The first ball is a short one, slanting into the middle. And the next ball is again shorter and outside off. He hits both of them for sixes. One of them is a pull shot and the other is a hook shot. And then Bumrah goes wide Yorker, which then goes for a four. So you can completely understand that's how he thinks.
Yeah. And the six sixes is avoided. It's funny because Varun, me and Varun were having this disagreement. Well, Varun said, well, once you've hit five sixes and over, you are more likely to hit the sixth one for six, right? And I was like, yes, if you're bowling against someone who's just a terrible matchup or doesn't have, you know, very good skills, right? So I've hit six sixes in and over, right? And it was against an off spinner. And there was nothing, by the last ball, there was nothing he could do that I hadn't already seen from him, right? Do you know what I mean? I hit him for two sixes, then he tried wide, right? And I just hit him straight back over his head. Then he tried the faster one, right? And I hit him over the leg side using the extra pace of the ball, right? For the fifth one, he tried a Yorker and I got under it and hit it back over mid on. And it was like, what's the fourth option? That's what happens. So in that situation, and I'm talking about like that in a is it Van Bunger, I think, in against Herschel Gibbs, right? That kind of situation, at that point, at that stage, Varun's 100% right. But when you're talking about a professional bowler, right, who does this for a living, who is used to getting out of death overs, who is used to getting out of bad situations, who sometimes will bowl for singles intentionally and all these sorts of things. And I'm not just talking about Bumrah, but I'm talking about any professional bowler. I don't think you are that much more likely to hit a sixth off the sixth ball because you're going to face maybe four wides in a row. And I think a player like Bumrah will come up with multiple options too to try against you in that situation that you might not even be awake for. Like, for instance, someone like Bumrah might be like, okay, then I'm going to give you my fastest bouncer next ball.
Yeah.
Right? And you're on the front foot because you've just hit everything straight back over his head or over cover or mid-wicket. And suddenly the next ball is at your head and you're not set up for that. And that's the difference, I think, with facing a frontline bowler, especially a pace bowler, and being able to do that. And the other thing that we found in this, right, is it generally was spinners who get hit for the six sixes. And partly that's because the wide Yorker doesn't work as much for them because they can't bowl it fast enough. And they can't bowl a surprise bouncer, right? They don't have that ability.
But now we're seeing spinners do that at times, no?
Yeah.
I'll find it, does it?
Yeah. I mean, maybe it is an option if you're getting hit for all those sixes. It's actually hard to hit a spin bowler for a six if he bowls you a surprise bouncer. But even then, not that many bowlers have the shoulder ability to bowl a bouncer off one step.
Yeah. No. I think the only other spinner I've seen do it regularly is Hayley Matthews at times and Krunal Pandya.
Hayley Matthews, KS Krunal. Ahmed and Shane Warne. Are they the three main bouncer bowlers?
Krunal
used to bowl a bouncer?
Krunal does it, yes. He bowls at like, and he bowls it fast, like 100 plus.
Yeah. I mean, Shane Warne used to get up to like 120. A 3D bowl one maybe as well. But it's not easy, right? And realistically, you know, that's still a dangerous ball. Especially if you're putting that much pace on it, you're now giving something else. Also, if you're not used to bowling bouncers, it might be a wide, right? Which doesn't solve your issue because the next ball, you still have to bowl another delivery.
Yeah, for sure. I think, and what if it goes for a no ball? Like, what if you don't have control while bowling it? That can also happen.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. So I think that, you know, with spinners, it might be a situation one day where we get to a position where a spinner bowls a bouncer on the sixth ball just because of that. But again, those are spinners who are thinking their way through situations and are used to being hit four sixes. The issue with the more part-timery bowlers, right? I've forgotten the name of the guy who bowled to Ravi Shastri. But the issue with those, who was it?
Tilak Raj.
Yes, Tilak Raj, that's him. Someone like that, he doesn't bowl that much and he isn't in situations where he's being hammered as much, right? So he doesn't have the ability to get himself back out of that situation. And so I think when I started this, I was like, well, actually, you know, there's been this many sixes hit this many times that six sixes have been hit in and over, and it is definitely a possibility. But then you start to peel back the layers of, these guys are so used to being hit for sixes now. Even Bumrah, right? It's still like 100 sixes in T20 cricket or something he's been hit for, isn't it? Like,
it's probably 70? 157. Yeah,
157, right? And you throw in a couple of others in professional.
170, cricket. Sorry. Yeah, 170.
Yeah, a 170. That was the number. I said 100, and I said 70. Apparently, I was circling this one. But if you look at it all the way around, right? That's a lot of times to be hit for sixes. He would have been hit for sixes in coming up as well a lot.
Yeah.
If you're a part-timer and you don't bowl all that much and then suddenly you're in a situation like this, I don't know. You know, so I've hit sixes in and over, but I also played in a game where the guy hit my first five balls for six.
Oh, wow.
Right? And I was so young and I didn't actually know what my next option was because I bowled, I'd never played at this level of cricket before, and I'd never played to a left-hander as talented as this guy was before, and I didn't know what to bowl the next ball, right? Whereas if I was playing now, right, I'm not as, maybe not as good a bowler as I was when I was young, but I would know how to get out of that situation. And I wouldn't wait until the sixth ball to get out of it either, right? Like, I would bowl a half tracker down the leg side that was hit for four on the fourth ball. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I would know how to do those. I would switch to off spin just to put him off and come around the wicket, right? Like, I would do something to get out of that situation. And, you know, I've seen guys like Dwayne Bravo do stuff like this before, where he gets hit for a couple of sixes and he comes around the wicket and he bowls the next ball is a full toss at your legs. He's not trying to get hit for a four, but he is making sure that he cannot be hit for a six. And he's hoping to probably hit your pads and get a single. But he's also thinking, worst case scenario, he turns this for four and I don't have to worry about being hit for six sixes in an over.
Yeah. So I think at what point as a bowler do you start worrying about six sixes? Is it after the first two sixes or is it three?
I mean, as a wrist spinner, and you would know this as well, like it's not that uncommon for you to be hit for a couple of sixes. I remember, I'm pretty sure I'm right in this, that I think the first time I played senior cricket, my first ball was hit for six. I changed clubs and my first ball was hit for six, right? But at that stage, I was pretty used to being hit for six because, again, I'm a wrist spinner and it's a thing that happens. I think once, and I say this as a wrist spinner, it might be different for pace bowlers and finger spinners, but once I get hit for my third six, that's when I start to think, okay, now I really need to think about how to get out of this over, right, as much as I can. And since being hit for the five sixes in an over, I've been hit for like some 20-run overs, but I've never been hit for more than two sixes in a row since then, right? Because I can bowl the balls that, you know, that take me out of that situation. And generally when you're playing in club cricket, which was a bit different when I was playing against that other guy. But when you're playing in club cricket, you are in a situation where the guys are limited. So you're just looking for the bit where they can't hit you for that six. That's not quite the case in the other place. But I think as a bowler, once the third one goes for six, you start to go, oh, this is a complete, I'm not in normal cricket anymore, right? I have to get out of this.
No. I think the first instinct might be, at a very basic level, it might be to change your, this thing, go around the wicket or something like that.
Yeah,
I think that's like your first option.
You see it a lot, right? You see, if you see two sixes or three sixes be hit, quite often a bowler will just instantly come around the wicket, which is what and even the part-timers do this.
Yeah.
Did you see, by the way, the over in the Windward Islands the other day, where the woman got hit for 44 runs?
Oh, I heard about it, yes. Yeah, I heard about that.
She only got hit for 1 6. It was mostly wides and no balls. Yeah, she had an absolute shocker. But again, it's a similar kind of thing. I've told this story before, but it's one of my favorite. I played with a guy who had the yips.
Yeah.
Who, when he was coming into bowl, something was going wrong. And I think he bowled, I'm trying to remember, he bowled a couple of wides. And then as he was coming in, he would stop. And he must have done it like 12 or 15 times, Sian. And then he just walked off the field. Right. And we never saw him again. He never came back. And he'd been playing at the club for like 2 years. It wasn't like a casual guy. Mm-hmm. Right. And he just left and never came back again. And so I think that you can't really do that as a professional. Right. I know there's a couple of bowlers who have over their times clutched hamstrings, talked about cramp. I'm not going to name any names, but there's some pretty high profile cricketers who have done that before. And I know there's some players who accuse them of that. But generally, they don't. Right. Most bowlers will fight all the way through that over, even if they do have a bit of a niggle, because they want to be seen as tough by their players. And once you get into that kind of hole, that is actually, it's a great skill to be able to dig yourself back out of it.
No, I think definitely it's sort of an experience that maybe some bowlers should have in some ways, because it prepares you for the best, especially at lower levels, but even for the higher levels, I would say.
No, I think you're right. I think it's one of those things I always thought that, like, with someone like Michael Clarke, who had never really failed in his life at anything, and when he played for Australia, there was always going to be more failure, right?
Yeah.
And when he first started, I don't think he was emotionally ready for failure, right? And you see it with lots of really young, talented players. And I think it's the same with bowlers. If you're completely dominating all the way through, like someone like Rashid Khan, I think sometimes Rashid Khan can go for a lot of runs when he gets when the players are playing against him. And it's because Rashid Khan is not used to being hit for runs. Yeah. He doesn't know how to go through that in the way that a normal player does. So when Owen Morgan is like, I've got this guy, I think I can play this guy, Rashid Khan doesn't have like a B and a C and a D. Whereas Sunil Narine is someone that has come across many different methods. And he is someone who has, you know, was playing windball cricket in Trinidad where everyone was trying to hit him for a six all the time. And he probably got hit for sixes a lot and then came up with methods to stop it. That eventually helps you, right? And yeah. I think that, you know, those sorts of situations, it's no different for anyone. You know, you're a young professional and like sometimes I put you in situations that I know you're not ready for, right?
Yeah.
But it's also because like we have to push you to get you to that position, right? We have to get you into that position so that you'll be able to be able to work these things out for your own. It's, you know, I do the same thing with my kids. Sometimes the best thing you can do is not help someone, right? And I wonder if, I think sometimes we can't help it as captains and leaders on the field to like go up to these people. But sometimes the best thing is to kind of just let them work it out, right? Because as you said, you have to learn how to work these moments out. And the best way is perhaps on your own of doing that, maybe with just a couple of words, but you don't want to be in a situation where you're sort of like trying to micromanage the bowler as well.
Exactly.
At the lower levels. Yeah. At the top level, it's a little bit different. But at the lower levels, I think you actually want to be like, okay, so you've been here for three sixes now. What do you do?
Yeah. Because if you get into their head, I think it will cause even more issues. And I'm sure
we've seen that before. Yeah. I mean, the Ben Stokes one's got to be the one of the most famous ones ever, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like, I've never talked to Ben about this, but I've talked to Carlos about this, right? And Carlos knew the first ball they were going into the pitch. He'd worked out the field dimensions. He worked out exactly what kind of ball they were going to bowl. And then they bowled that. And then he's like, well, once I've hit that, I know they are going to go straight and full. They're not going to go back to that delivery again, right?
Yeah.
And so Owen Morgan and Ben Stokes are talking about that. And it's perhaps if the two of them weren't in unison, right? And they were, and it was just Ben on his own, he probably doesn't try the same ball three times in a row after that. He goes for the Yorker three balls in a row, right?
Yeah.
And also maybe Ben, if he's just doing it normally, goes, fuck it, I'm just going to try a wide Yorker. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But he never tries a wide Yorker, right? He never tries an actual bouncer. Like, he never tries a slower ball. He just does that. And it's because in unison, if you think about it, the ball that makes the most sense is the straight full ball at that point, because that's where the longer boundaries are. That you get a chance of a Carlos hitting it straight up in the air. You get a chance of bold and LBW and everything else. It makes sense. But again, sometimes what you actually need when someone's hitting you for sixes is the ball that doesn't make sense, not the ball that does make sense.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a really good example of a situation where a bowler goes for four sixes in a row because he actually followed the logic of the field. Whereas actually, if he played against the logic, if he'd have bowled a wide half volley, Carlos wouldn't have hit it because he was not ready for it. He just would have missed it, right?
Yeah.
And so sometimes the opposite of, you know, and I remember talking to Harry Gurney about this years ago of like, Harry Gurney's a poker player. And he went about the death overs in a very poker kind of way of, you know, he had a system and he wasn't always relying on the batter. And he would sometimes come in with like, okay, so I'm going to bowl this ball followed by this ball followed by this ball. And me and Harry actually talked about taking that to an extreme level of going, can you go into the final two overs of a match and pre-plan your balls and not change the deliveries based on what the batter has done at all, right? And I don't know if anyone's ever done this. I'd be, you know, Ashwin might be someone who might've tried this before. But the point being is what batters are doing is reading you.
Yeah.
Right? And so if you can become unreadable, and I think that's what you have to do at that sort of, he's already hit three sixes off you level.
No, I think that's a really good explanation. And the fact that you say that you have to be ready for these situations in some ways, I think maybe when Bumrah played tennis ball cricket back in his childhood, that might have played a part. And he also, I think, they mentioned that the pitch where he bowls, it's a very small sort of an area. That's how his action came into being. And maybe all those things just got him ready to, you know, when he came to the top level, it just became really hard to hit sixes off him. Sixes in particular.
Do you know what? I think that's a really good thing. And one thing I would add to that is that if you look at cricketers and where they play and everything, it usually does dictate it. And if he's in a situation where they've only got a couple of tennis balls and they've all got to stop being hit for six so they don't lose their balls or their rubber balls or their tape balls, whatever the hell they were using in those games, then you're at that stage, you are in a situation, right, where the best thing that you can do is try and keep the ball in the playing area. And it's a bit like Matthew Hayden hitting the ball straight down the ground, right? It's like, that's the shape of his backyard. Otherwise he's just going to smash his fence and his dad's going to kick his butt. Right. You know, it's Viv Richards hitting across the line to the leg side. So he doesn't hit on the offside so they don't lose the balls to the cranky neighbor at the school next door. Right. So, you know, those sort of things do play a part. You are right.
And Brian Lara, obviously we talked about him, his batting being influenced by the pots and everything. Right.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think that, you know, I think that I grew up on a very big grounds, right? When I was young. Our ground was massive. It wasn't quite the size of the MCG, but there was one boundary that was probably similar to the MCG size. Uh-oh. And again, very, very shallow, straight, right? And so we always realized that like I could set a very deep field and there was very little chance as a leg spinner I'm going to be hit for six on that ground, right?
Yeah.
So I can toss the ball up more and I can, and then not long after that, I started playing on really tiny grounds and you're like, oh my God, you have to bowl very differently here, right? Yeah. Like I, you know, that's what happens. You know, that's what happens as you develop as a cricketer, but you never learn the lessons of, if I see a big ground now, I'm like, great, I'm going to put three guys out and let's see what these guys do. Because I know that I can keep the pressure on normally. It doesn't bother me not having the fielders in close, but if they want to hit the big shot off me, they're going to hit it. I have to hit it over someone's head, right? And so those are the sorts of things that you probably learn subconsciously, right? As much as consciously. Ross Taylor couldn't see at night or when the clouds were in. Eventually, he had to see an eye specialist who would fix his eyesight. In the 2 years before the change, he still averaged more than 50 in international cricket. The top level of batting talent can basically see in the dark. That is who we are talking about in our new book, The Art of Batting. Head over and order your copy today.
Completely agree with you, Jared. And I think there's another very interesting question on Bumrah and why certain type of batters are able to play him really well. So Deepak and I were doing this live and during that somebody asked us that, do you think players who are of short stature or have a low center of gravity play Bumrah better? For example, De Villiers, Josh Inglis and Phillips.
I can't think of any reasons why that would be the case, except that perhaps their center of mass or their center of strength is lower and he's bowling lower balls. Does that make sense?
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, if you're Zach Crawley, you might be a powerful guy, but your power is sort of higher, if that makes sense.
No, I understand.
Whereas if you're Kusal Mendes, your power is kind of lower.
Exactly.
So maybe there's something in that, in that kind of thing. But yeah, Josh Inglis is a fascinating one because he's not always very good against pace. And then suddenly he likes to face Bumrah. So
yeah.
I think sometimes it's as simple as, who was I talking to the other day? Was it Robbie? Robbie was talking about how hard it is to finish Sean Tate because Sean Tate had this wind-up where he twisted his waist and the ball went behind him. And I interviewed 10 people for my Sean Tate piece and 5 people told me that they found Sean Tate impossible because that ball would disappear behind his body. And the other 5 people went, no, it was pretty easy to pick Sean Tate, right? The pace was the issue, but it wasn't hard to pick him. So how is that possible that for 5 people they can't see the ball and for 5 people they can, right? And, you know, we see that with like a whole generation of people struggling with Murali and Warne.
Yeah.
And Brian Lara just being like, nah.
That's too easy.
And BBS Laxman just being like, this is easy.
Yeah.
What do you guys do? And then Ajunta Mendes comes on the scene.
Yeah.
No one can hit him at all. And say, well, can. So I think sometimes you have these micro matchups. And so I think you should expect some players to be able to hit Bumrah for 6.
Yeah.
But over the long period of time, you can understand why most people have not.
Yeah. But I really find this theory interesting. And I think I'll go and look back at what Deepak said, maybe ask Himanish. And this could be something worth exploring because if that is one way to counter Bumrah, maybe more teams can consider, you know, thinking along those lines.
You know,
maybe have a lower setup while trying to hit him at the death, like crouch and try to sweep him or some. Like you have to be ABD level or even Glenn Phillips type of a player to do such things, I think. Not everybody can do that.
I honestly think if I was working with teams, I'd be like, can we just hit him for boundaries? Let's not, hit him for 4 boundaries rather than 6 boundaries, I should say, right? Like, I've often thought that. There's plenty of bowlers that like, so teams do this naturally. You know, we've talked about this before, that Bhuvnesh Nakuma suddenly after a while stops getting any wickets anymore in the power play. Right. And it's because teams naturally are like, we can't give this guy wickets. He always takes wickets.
Exactly.
And so he has a low economy.
Yeah.
So you have to be, quite smart and you have to sort of change this around a little bit. Right. And be like, okay, so this is how we play him. And we've seen that with Sunil Narine and Rashid Khan is another one that's done that.
Yeah.
I think it's fine to be like, let's just pretend that you can't hit 6s off Bumrah. Right. And let's see if you can hit 4s off him. Because I think you can hit 4s off him, right? Like the numbers do suggest there are 4s there. And I if you play him in that way, I think you give yourself more of a chance. But again, these are quite extreme, you know, ways of doing things. And not everyone will feel comfortable with that. And there are a lot of players now who are set up only to hit 6s, right?
Hmm. No, I think I was actually, so I think a very good example of this would be Amelia Kerr in the women's game and Marizan Kapp. So these are the sort of players that I was thinking about, Rashid Khan, Bumrah, Narayan, and those two bowlers that I mentioned, right? I think in some ways you don't let them bowl the way they want to. You have to try and disrupt them. As KP says, don't let bowlers bowl to you. So I think that's the sort of theory which really makes sense to me against these bowlers. Maybe you try and use your feet. Against the spinners, I think it makes sense. And against someone like Kapp, who is basically unplayable in the power play, right? What she does is she'll hit a good length over and over and over again. I mean, they showed the numbers. She was 65% on a good length. So it's the Bhuvneshwar Kumar thing then, right? Then teams will not take any risks of her. They'll be like, okay, fine. Just let's not take any stupid risks of her bowling and try and score off the other bowlers. That's a good way to go ahead with it, I think, for certain bowlers. Yeah. But if you want to put them under pressure, especially in Bumrah's case, what do you think are the best shots? Where in the grounds can you score fours? What point in the innings can you do it? Because I was thinking a lot about this.
Well, as I said, I don't think there's a particular shot that you need to play. I mean, let's go with Robbie's theory that it's easier to hit him on the offside than the leg side, right?
Yeah.
But I think you play conventional shots to him, but in those shots, you're trying to hit boundaries. So he bowls a lot of balls full around off stump.
Yeah.
Okay, you can drive those, can't you? So try and hit either side of cover, right? And the ball is giving you plenty of pace and the ball's sliding onto your bat. Worst case scenario, you get a single on most of those balls. Best case scenario, you can start to hit a couple of fours and he has to change his style a little bit.
Yeah.
The other one is that he does actually slip down the leg side going for those straight Yorkers a little bit, right? If you're very good off your pads and you back yourself, surely short fine leg is another option with him, right? But I don't think I think more for me, it's just if you just think about, so I think it's is it a South African phrase or an English phrase? There's one of the countries that always says hit the sweepers hard, right? So he bowls like a lot of balls that are half volleys, Yorkers, full tosses, right? Every time you get one that isn't a Yorker, you should be trying to hit that ball as hard as possible along the ground to if on the offside boundary or behind square leg on the leg side boundary and look for that option. And I think if you do that, you could probably end up with a 1 for 32 or a 1 for 36 day off him sometimes.
Yeah.
And that's kind of all you need off him.
Yeah, that's a win.
Like, am I?
Yeah.
Yeah, like I would take that. It's a bit like the Bhuvie thing we were saying before. Yeah. If Bhuvie goes for 7 runs and over in the power play, it's like, and he doesn't take a wicket, fine. Yeah. We'll get our runs off the guys at the other end because we haven't lost any wickets.
Exactly. And I think this is where teams often tend to make mistakes. Not everybody can score off these bowlers, if that makes sense. You probably need very specialized sort of players to take these risks. I know it makes sense to try and score fast in T20 cricket, don't get me wrong. But when it's these bowlers, you can throw in Varun Chakravarti in there as well, I think. Sometimes what you want to do is just play sensible cricket, especially if you're in the first innings. Not in a way where you completely go defensive and play on autopilot, but don't take unnecessary risks to the extent that you start losing wickets of the other bowlers. If that makes sense.
Yeah, I think one of the big shots, if you go back and look at Bumrah, one ball he gets a lot of wickets on is a good length ball that people are trying to swing to the leg side.
Yeah.
Right? I just don't think you need to play that shot to him. Hmm. Right? And we've seen some sixes from that shot as well off him. But that shot usually ends up in you being bowled.
Yeah.
Right? Off Jasper Bumrah.
Exactly.
So it's a good length ball. Smash it back over his head. Hit straight with it. Or smash it along the ground, back down the ground and try and get two with it. Right? There are other ways of scoring. And I think that one of the reasons that Narayan, Chakravarti and Bumrah are so successful is they are, when you take a risk against them, it's in their favor every time, right?
Yeah.
But they are actually giving you runs, right? As we said before, they are giving you runs. Bumrah doesn't mind if you score off him. He just assumes it's going to be a single, right? If that's the case, then bat against him in that way. Maybe someone like Virat Kohli, who has a good record against him. That's kind of Virat Kohli's method, right?
Yeah.
Of like ones and twos, and if it's a bad ball or if I need to, I will hit a boundary, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of what you need to do against those guys. It's not what you need to do against everyone else.
Yeah.
But when you have someone bowling like that, it makes a lot more sense to go about it, right? Before Bumrah, before Malinga lost his form, like the best T20 bowler in the world was probably Mitchell Starc for a brief period of time, right? When he was just absolutely incredible. And if you're facing Mitchell Starc, it's what we're saying now is completely different.
Yeah.
Because against Mitchell Starc, what we're really saying is when he bowls a ball that is unplayable, you just have to keep it out.
Yeah.
But cash in on all the balls that he actually allows you any width or you know, or the right length or whatever else. So it's not like every great T20 bowler is the same. But in Bumrah's case, it's a particular kind of bowling that he is doing. And, you know, we've looked at the lengths he bowls before. When he bowls back of a length, he wants you to hit him for a single, right? So if that's the case, why not get inside the line of the ball and turn it as fine as possible, right?
Yeah.
Or even just try and flick it over the top of short, fine leg in that situation.
Yeah.
Right? Don't look for the six. Just look for the simple shot there. And generally what happens is people, like, because they're thinking and they're hitting for six, when he bowls that back of a length, he cramps them up.
Yeah.
He's only cramping you up if you're looking to hit a six.
Mm.
Normal cricket, that's not cramping you up. I remember Nottingham doing this. Nottingham had this big theory that the best ball in T20 cricket was back of a length at your ribcage, right?
Oh.
Because everyone was giving themselves room to hit sixes.
Yeah.
Right? And that was the ball that would cramp you up. That's what Bumrah does, right? He just doesn't do it as often as Nottingham used to do it. But that's exactly what he's doing. But that's because you're trying to hit it for six. If you're not trying to hit it for six, that's a ball on your hip.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's where batters get a little bit, not in their own heads, but they, you know, you've got to remember if you're facing Varun Chakravarti, Sunil Narine, or Jasprit Bumrah, you're actually facing a completely different method of bowling. And
yeah.
So you, and maybe this goes back to the Robbie thing of, like, you know, Robbie talks about Lasith Malinga and Jasprit Bumrah, and he's coming up with a method to work for them.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you have to do.
I think you have to do that for sure, because if you just play them like normal bowlers, they don't have a problem with that. They'll be more than happy to give you singles and all of that. So, Jared, I was just thinking about this. If you have to come up with like a dream scenario, okay, where if Bumrah, somehow it's a video game, you have to get him, you have to hit six sixes off Bumrah. What batter would you pick? What ground would you pick? What lengths would you want? Like, because even within that, it's just so difficult to do that, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's AB de Villiers, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's the first one that comes to mind.
Yeah, I think it's AB de Villiers, and you probably want a ground that is obviously small,
but
specifically maybe has a small offside boundary so that he can use that, so that Bumrah can't bowl one side of the wicket.
Yeah.
So maybe the wind is, it's a small ground, the wind is blowing towards the small offside boundary, but it's still easy for AB to hit it to the leg side is probably the ideal.
Yeah.
My question to you is, after doing this, because we were trying to work out if there was an actual odds we could come up with, what odds do you think it is likely for anyone to hit six sixes off Jasprit Bumrah this World Cup? So Rob Barron came up with 17,000 to 1.
I feel like it's really difficult to, you know, give any informed opinion on this.
There is no informed opinion.
But 1 in a million sounds very realistic, right? When I put it in ChatGPT and I was trying to work out if there is actually a way to do it, you know. And when I told you the number,
ChatGPT gave us 1 in 6 million, 1 in 1 million.
Yeah.
And then 1 in 750,000 as well. I probably think it's closer to 250,000. If he bowls, especially at the World Cup level when it comes to semifinals and finals, if a team needs, you know, to get back in the game and he's bowling his 17th over, I find it very unlikely that it's going to happen, but I think that that's probably the safe number, right? Of that. Like I understand why Rob went with 17,000, but I think that once you factor in that it doesn't happen to fast bowlers very often and people generally find a way to get out of those overs and the Bumrah is the greatest problem solver in cricket, it's less likely. I think a million feels too far away when Pat Cummins once hit him for four sixes in an over, right? But at the same time, you know, I understand why you would come up with a million as well, but it's a fascinating one because the math doesn't actually help you in this situation.
Yeah,
I think it actually makes it harder to work out.
Yeah. And that was a problem statement initially, right? Like we were trying to work this out seriously.
Yeah.
And Varun was like, dude, probability is not my game. Then it was like, okay, let's ask Himanish. And he's like, this doesn't make any sense, guys. Let's just bin it. So I think, 1 in 500,000, or a million, somewhere between that maybe makes sense in some ways. But who's going to do it?
Let's put it this way. It's unlikely.
Yeah. Travis Head is an interesting one because I think you mentioned him in that if they're chasing at the death and they need 40 runs in two overs or something like that. But
yeah, there's guys who could do it, right? Travis Head, Mitch Marsh,
Brevis,
Tim David. You know, there are plenty of guys who have the physical capabilities to be able to do this. Mm. It's so unlikely. It just is. And what's fascinating is, and this is probably a testament to bowlers, is that we're still not seeing a lot of six sixes be hit.
Yeah.
Right? It doesn't happen all that often. We get a lot of big overs. We don't get a lot of six sixes. And I think that tells you just how unlikely it is when the great bowlers, when the professional bowlers are bowling.
Yeah. And the elites of the elite. So it just becomes really tough. But even with Travis Head, so I was thinking about him before we were doing the show. And what I thought was, I have not looked at the exact numbers to back this up, but it feels like Head hits more fours than sixes. He's more of a four hitter. And he scores fours on both sides of the ground, right? So he can still hit sixes. I'm not saying he cannot hit sixes. But the chances of Travis Head hitting six sixes, I feel like it's a little low compared to maybe some other
hitters. But you're thinking about normal innings. I'm thinking about Australia need 50 of the last two overs.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That's a very different situation. And I don't know if there's many people in the world you would prefer to have in more than him, right? Nah. But agreed. Stubbs, Brevis, Stubbs. Head... I'm trying to think of some other guys.
Abhishek,
out there.
But he's not going
to
play.
Yeah, he doesn't have to play against Abhishek, but Abhishek would obviously be, you know, there's a couple of Indians that would be high up on this list if we were talking about the IPL. Hmm. Phil Salt, you know, there's a bunch of guys who have the ability to hit multiple sixes in a row. And if they're in a situation where it's them versus a Bumrah, then it's very different at that point, right?
It has to be a desperate situation. I think, like you mentioned, 50 runs in two overs.
Otherwise, I don't even think you're trying to hit him for six sixes in an over, right? Yeah. Whereas, you know, there might be a time when Hardik comes on and it's like the 13th over and you're like, well, this is a good matchup. Let's go.
Yeah.
Right. You might not be thinking six sixes, but you hit a couple and then it gets on a roll. That's very rare to happen against Bumrah.
Exactly. And we saw in the T20 World Cup final, right? Klassen basically lined up Akshar Patel and it seemed like everyone was going for six. It felt like that. As an Indian fan, it definitely felt like that. But so I think if there is one bowler who you would say there is a chance of getting hit for six sixes, who would that be? Among like the good bowlers, you would say, not the part-timers, among the frontliners.
Who was it in the data? Was there anyone in the data?
Rishad Hussain was one who gets hit for a lot of sixes. But I don't know.
Well, he doesn't have to worry about the World Cup now.
Yeah. But even within that, my point was, if it's tough, if it's easy to score sixes of certain bowlers, it might not necessarily be easy to do it multiple times in a row. The math for that completely changes, right?
Yeah, I think he's a really good bowler, actually. But yeah, no, he is one. I think the list that we had was mostly the part-timer type guys, right? Because
or someone like Shadab, maybe.
Yeah, maybe the way Shadab's bowling at the moment is probably less likely. But yeah, so someone like, but even Shadab he's not quite a frontline bowler, is he? I know he's closer to a frontline bowler than most. But he's not quite a frontline bowler. Yeah. I think the bowlers that are most likely is probably a left-arm finger spinner who's not a frontline bowler, who ends up against the left-hander, right? That's the nightmare situation. Yeah. And that's how we began, right? That's how Sobers did it to Malcolm Nash, right? Which was, you know, a good matchup, Sobers getting bored and going for it. And it's like, that's probably the one that I think is the hardest. Because if you're not a frontline left-arm finger spinner and somehow you end up against the left-hander because you have to bowl, that's probably when you're most likely to be hit for the six sixes.
Basically, Abhishek Sharma, short leg side boundary, and someone bowling to him in the power play.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's the sort of situation that is probably the worst. But yeah, you'll certainly get guys who, due to injuries and sometimes just due to bowling rotations, will have to bowl and someone will be going, right? And there's always a chance of, like Glenn Phillips bowled the other day when India were absolutely smashing it everywhere. Yeah. I think he went for almost no runs in that over, right? But realistically, that's the kind of over when someone like Glenn Phillips comes on and suddenly gets hit for a couple of sixes. And then they're just under the pump from then on in. And Glenn Phillips is someone who wasn't really bowling until professional, until a couple of years ago. So he doesn't have all those different skills to be able to get out that situation.
Okay, Jared, I think it's been a pleasure talking to you on this topic. We've covered lots
of... it's been a pleasure. You're not sure it's been a pleasure.
No, it has definitely been a pleasure. And when you first pitched the topic, I was like, okay, I didn't think too much about it. I was like, okay, we'll
I could actually see you eye roll when I first pitched you the topic.
But
it ended up being one of the most fun things we've ever worked on.
Yeah, exactly. It's because we are thinking about so many cricketing things within that, right? Ground dimensions, what sort of bowlers, what situations.
I think that's why it's so fascinating as a topic is because we start off with, is this mathematically possible? How does this work? And then you're like, whoa, there's so many other parts of this. And like, you know, you wrote the sort of the first half of the draft and I sort of wrote the second half of the draft because I had just as many thoughts as you had.
Yeah.
Right. And I found it a really, really fascinating topic. If you want to go see the full video on it that we've done or the Substack, they're both available as well.
Yeah. Please feel free to go and check out goodareas.co for all the work that we do as part of this team. And of course, now with Combox, you can always check out Combox TV. You can go there and you'll see lots of different live shows. You can go and check out the Hindi channel as well, where we do lives with Deepak Goyal and lots of us come on. Saurabh is there.
You do lives. It's very important to know that I don't do lives.
And we even had Himanish on one of the lives yesterday. Yep. So please feel free to check out all of these things that we are doing as part of this team. And goodbye.
Thank you for listening to this podcast on the Combox Network. There is an ad-free version of this you can find by supporting us on Patreon at Good Areas Podcast. You can also access our Discord channel there. Please like, subscribe, and rate this show. Every one of these helps us. If there was a guest on a show, you can find their links in the show notes. Huge thanks to Rakshit, Ishit, and everyone else who helps us get our content out there. If you want to know more about us, head to combox.tv. If you make a lot of content like me, oh, you are going to need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up incredible clips from your podcasts and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.